before us this evening that explains the way. And Father, we trust that as we would go through the next short time, that you would use your word through me to speak with clarity, and that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ would be plain to the hearers. And Father, that maybe someone that is searching, someone that needs to be saved, would come in on the offer of salvation that is free to them, but at a great cost to your beloved Son. So Father, we pray for help this evening. Give me liberty. We thank thee for each one that is tuned in tonight, and we just pray that you would be honored and glorified in everything that would be said tonight. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, once again, we're kind of privileged to be able to just share with you from the Word of God. I would invite you this evening to listen very carefully. I would encourage you parents, if you have children, and I know that sitting under this kind of a meeting on a screen is probably a little challenging for some of the younger children, but I'm not going to be long this evening, so I'd encourage you parents, if you have children, that they would tune in, sit down beside you and listen carefully. We have some important information to share with you tonight, probably things you've already heard before, but it's God's message. It's God himself speaking to you through his word tonight, and so we pray that you would just listen carefully to what we have to say this evening. We're going to begin by just reading three scripture verses. The first one is found in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. And this is what it says: all we like sheep have gone astray, or have gone off the right path. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Over to the New Testament for two verses. Romans chapter 3 and verse 12. Romans chapter 3 and verse 12. It says this: they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Our final reading in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, just one page back. It says this: or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. We'll end our reading there this evening. Just to be clear, before we begin, I am not promoting low self-esteem or that you have no value. Quite the contrary. Some will disagree with the title of my message maybe this evening, or some may agree with it partially. But I've entitled my message simply this: you're not good. You're not good. Someone has said this: there is a heaven to pursue and a hell to avoid. There is a heaven to pursue and a hell to avoid. And I believe that's a very true statement. The Word of God says this: seek ye the Lord while he may be found. That tells me that this offer of salvation that we're going to speak of this evening is time limited. Time limited. We want to give you information this evening that will secure your soul in heaven forever. I'm a good person. I don't know if you've ever heard that phrase come from anyone, but I've certainly heard it many times in my Christian life ever since I've been saved and had opportunity to speak to others and would address them with the gospel. And lots of times their response is, I'm a good person. It's a familiar words. Most people that you would encounter would simply say that. But I would say they are wrong. Let's just look in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. Here's a paragraph or a few verses that describe what mankind is before a holy God. It says this, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. The verse that we spoke of earlier, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, an open grave. With their tongues they use deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You see, the truth of the matter is, good people that do kind and good things can end up in a place called hell. Let me repeat that. Good people that do good and kind things can end up in hell. There's an argument out there that says, because I do good, I am good. Some people have a conscience to do or not to do certain things. And some have a conscience that allows them to do not such good things. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, your conscience cannot be your guide. The scripture says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Your conscience cannot be your guide. Unless it is guided by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Not to say that the conscience is not used in making you aware of your sin, but independently from the Word of God and from the Holy Spirit, you cannot allow your conscience to rule you or to be your guide. That verse, when I said the heart is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked, it says also, he continues to say, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his way and according to the fruit of his doings. You see, the problem with the things that we do that are good, and let me clarify, doing good is not a bad thing. Trying to do good, trying to obey the Ten Commandments, being kind to your neighbor are all noble and things that are good. This isn't the point we're trying to make this evening. But see, your good is tainted by your nature. And you would ask, what do you mean by that? Your sin nature, your tendency to sin. Your sin nature is a tendency to do things that are contrary to God's commandments, God's law. And that we find them in the Word of God. You see, your soul is like a magnet for sin. That's just the way you are. It's because of Adam and Eve's sin nature, because when Adam and Eve sinned, they died. The nature to sin was there. It says, death came upon all men, for all have sinned. If you're a Christian here this evening, listening to this message, you can relate to this. Can you go back to a time in your life's experience when your sin became so heavy upon you, you realized that you were a sinner? I trust that you can say that as a Christian, that there was a time in life when you realized how sinful you really were. And thank God we understood that, because without realizing we were lost or sinners, condemned, and heading to hell, we would have never been saved. Maybe you should ask the question, am I good enough to be accepted by God into his heaven? Have I done enough good things? And I would simply submit to you, no, you have not. You never will. You see, it's about knowing God and his standards and requirements. The real question you need to ask yourself is, how can God make it possible for anyone to know God and be changed to be suitable for heaven? That would be more of an important question to ask yourself. How can I myself, as a sinner, be made suitable for a God, be in his presence, a holy, righteous God who cannot look upon sin? Maybe you're here this evening tuning in and you've heard this message often. You say, why do we continually preach that you need to repent and believe the gospel? And we're going to speak on those terms in a little bit. And the reason that we continue to present the truth of the gospel is because the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. And so our job as preachers is to present the truth of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and pray that God would take the scales off your eyes and see yourself for who you really are, a sinner, condemned, and on your way to hell. You see, it's not about how good or bad you are. Anything to do with works, as far as God's salvation is concerned, is listed in God's word as filthy rags, unacceptable to God. You see, the problem always has been, through the course of human history, the barrier between God and man is sin. More specifically, the barrier between you and God is your sin, the sins that you've committed. And maybe you'll say this evening after this message, you know what? I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to start doing more good. But the problem with that, if that was true and you could do that, God also requires that which is past, all the sins that you have on your account in the past. And you will pay for those sins. You see, you need to be forgiven. And you're not forgiven because of the good that you do. My Bible clearly states, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're forgiven, it's not because of your good works, but because of your changed mind about your sin. And you believed and received the forgiveness and eternal life by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your sin bearer. It's simply the only way. The Bible's very clear. It says, Jesus said himself about himself. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, woman or child comes unto the Father but through me. You see, the reality is lots of well-intentioned people will end up in hell by doing good things. Let me repeat that. Lots of well-intentioned people will end up in hell by doing good things. There will be a time in history when the Lord Jesus Christ will say to those people who thought they were good enough in and of themselves, he will say these words, depart from me, I never knew you. You will be wise this evening to listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as he said these words. In the Gospel of John, he says, ye must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of God. You're not good. You were born wrong. You're born with a sin nature. You're not right. You're under the judgment of God, resulting in eternal separation, and hell is your destination. What does this all boil down to? this whole thing about being right with God. How can a man be right with God? Well, we've talked about sin on your account and a holy God. How can we overcome that hurdle? How can we get beyond our sin and reach God? You see, religion has a tendency to tell man that they can do certain things to reach God. That's what religion does. But in reality, the Bible is very clear that God has already done everything to save you from your sin. The issue sometimes with our sin is simply this: it's pride. We don't want to admit that we're wrong. We don't want to admit that the things that we do in our lives are sinful. It's pride. The Bible would call it self-righteousness. We think we're right. You see, God made a provision, and it was in His Son. And His Son was born into this earth, and He lived here, but he had an agenda. He came to seek and to save the lost human race. And ultimately, they rejected Him. But that did not stop Him from doing the work of salvation, where He became your sin bearer. When He died on that tree, when men and women, boys and girls witnessed in history when the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only Son, was hung on a tree and the earth was darkened for 3 hours, He bore the sin of humanity. That was the work to save you. You see, doing all the right things, going to church, reading your Bible, doing good things will never save your soul from hell. And my fear sometimes in our circles is that even though we don't preach work salvation, I fear that some of us, some in our midst, and I don't know who they are, and you know who you are relying on their works. They're living the Christian life. They're attending meetings. They're involved in camp work. They're involved in kids club. They're reading their Bibles. They're praying. And they've never trusted Jesus Christ as their sole salvation, their only hope. You see, if you think there's good in you, it automatically disqualifies you from God's salvation. You see, because there's a problem with thinking you're good enough. The reality is, number one, the problem would be, how much good do I need to do in order for God to let me into His heaven? Where is the maximum amount or minimum amount of things that I need to do? Secondly, if it's by what we do and how we act, then it becomes a debt. God owes us, we would say. I've done so much, and now, God, You owe me. Let's remember who God is. He's the creator, sustainer of every breath. We owe God. God does not owe us anything. It's by grace, by His mercies, we're not consumed. You see, He's called sinners, not the righteous, to repentance. The last verse that we read was talked about the goodness of God leading you to repentance. How has God shown his goodness to you? You see, over 2,000 years ago, Jew and Gentile put their hands together and they nailed the Lord Jesus Christ to a cross. You're a Gentile. Maybe there's a Jew that's zoomed in tonight, but majority of us are Gentiles, and we had a part in that. We are responsible because we are Christ rejectors. How has God shown his goodness? He has not exacted punishment against you. You are able to hear the good news this evening and come in on his offer of salvation. You have an opportunity this evening to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. He has full rights to condemn you and send you to hell this evening. And you would deserve it. I would deserve it. But September 10th, 1988, I came in on his offer of salvation. I understood I was a sinner in need of a Savior. I understood that without God's salvation, I was on my way to hell. How about you this evening? Young person, are you living the Christian life, so to speak? Are you going through all the motions that Christianity and the Bible say about how to live the Christian life, but having no power? Have you ever repented? Have you ever seen yourself as a lost sinner, condemned, deserving hell? If you've never had that moment in time, then you can do all the good works that you can from now until the moment you die. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, him solely, then you're not saved. Search it out. Make sure. I'm not here to make people question their salvation. I'm here to tell you that there is a salvation, and it comes solely through the person and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by repenting of your sin and putting your faith and trust in that work, you can be saved even tonight. I want to read just one verse in closing. I have no idea what the time is, but it really does not matter. I think I'm early, but I'm going to end with this verse. I hope you listen very carefully as we read this one verse, and it speaks about a work, the goodness of God, and his work that he came here to do. John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat or my sustenance or what I need is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Not your work, his work. What did the Lord Jesus Christ come to do? Why was he ever born into planet Earth? Why did he ever come? He came to be obedient to his Father and to save your soul from the judgment of God. Can you say beyond a shadow of a doubt this evening, I am trusting solely in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ? And you know why I know it is finished? Because the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture. He was buried and he rose again the third day. It is finished. The work to save you is finished. You can do nothing. It's by grace, unmerited. Anything you can do will only come short of what God requires. God required a perfect sacrifice, and that sacrifice was his perfect Son, sinless, apart from sin. And he took upon himself your sin, your personal sin, so that you could be set free, so that you could spend eternity in heaven. If you've never trusted him, if you cannot go back to a moment in time, when you put your faith and trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, not your work, his work, then you can do that this evening. You can be saved and be sure, as Paul the Apostle would say, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he will keep that which I have committed unto him against that day, the day that you'll never have to see if you put your trust in him. There's no judgment for the Christian. If you're playing the game of Christianity, it's not enough. It's just a work. You cannot work your way into God's heaven. The work is done. It is finished, was the cry from the cross. And God was pleased with the work. And the question to you this evening, are you pleased? Is it enough for you that Jesus Christ died for your sins? Put your faith in him and experience God's salvation, which is there. I would not trade what I have for anything in this that this world has to offer. I trust you know him. If you know him, be encouraged tonight to live for him. We're saved unto good works because we want to thank him and to please him because he loves us. And we love him because he first loved us. I trust that I've been clear this evening. If you have any questions, get into the Word of God. Call someone who knows the Savior, and they can speak more of the salvation that he offers. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Father, this evening, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the work that was finished. And Father, we thank thee that it is not up to us to make a way. It is not up to us to do good. It is not up to us to make a certain mark. We know we would fall short, but we thank thee there was one who was the perfect one, the one who did no sin and was made sin for us. Father, I trust someone in our audience this evening would think seriously about whether or not they are born again and secure of heaven. Father, if all are, then praise God. Bless your word, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.